Hello.
So, Chip, yesterday's altercation in practice, what's the fallout from that? Have you addressed it with any of the players or Terry or Riley?
No, we went right back to team period right after that, and both those guys were lined up and played. And matter of fact, Mike threw the ball deep to Riley on the first play of team period, and Kerry was covering him, so I don't see any, no fallout, whatever.
You've been kind of insistent, though, on practice. You want them to practice the way we play, and throw Kerry out that time against the Patriots.
Yeah, we had told our guys before that, and that was just an agreement I had with Coach Belichick that we weren't going to put up with it when the two of our teams were practicing because what we had to get accomplished. So we address that all the time in meetings. Our coaches do in individual position meetings. I talk about it in team meetings about making sure that you play with emotion and don't let emotion play with you. And, you know, you got two competitive guys, and they got squalled pretty quickly and squashed pretty quickly. So we were back out and we were playing.
We look at the bigger. You've seen Kerry now get to a Steve Smith in a game, get to a Kira Dobson, his own teammate. You know, last year in the Super Bowl, shot the ref, people know about. So do you feel like he's got a little bit of something to overcome here to stay on the field and not get thrown?
No, we've talked to him about it, and hopefully he understands the ramifications and what it is. It's a team game. You know, and like I said, our whole deal we talk about all the time is that you have to play with emotion, not let emotion play with you.
Did you happen to hear what Kerry had said to Riley at the time of the altercation?
No.
You hadn't heard it?
No, I didn't. I mean, we got music blaring and all those other things, so I didn't hear anything.
You didn't feel it was necessary even after it was reported that he had said the same racial slur that Riley had used back in June at the concert? Did you feel it was necessary to talk to Kerry about that?
No, I didn't.
So you don't think that the two were connected? So you had talked about at the time how this was not something that was just going to go away.
I think that was connected to... No, not at all. That what happened yesterday?
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
You don't think it was any lingering feelings or...
No, I don't.
Do you have a threshold? I mean, if he continues to have fights, whether it's with teammates or in games, will you eventually feel like you have to do something further?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it with all of our players in terms of how they're supposed to behave on the practice field and in the game field, so...
But if you feel it's not sinking in, you're talking about it and it's still happening, do you have to take...
I take every incident into account on how it happened and what transpired in the whole thing. So,
if you look at the wide receiver numbers New York got when the TV coach in college, outside of 2010, there was never the dominant receiver. Is that consistent with your offensive approach where you want the ball?
No, we don't actively go out and look for non-dominant receivers.
So. No, but where you have, I mean, some teams have a number one receiver, some teams it's 50 catches around the board. Is there?
We're equal opportunity throw operation, so if you're open, we're going to throw it to you. But we don't think about if we got players that are really good. Jeff was really good in 2010, and we played to his strengths. So I think part of what we do is try to tailor it, you know. And also a lot of those things, I know a lot of people, and I've said this before, but they keep looking at the numbers we had at Oregon, and you look at it, but we were up so much at halftime in 80% of our games that we didn't have to throw the ball. Nor did we throw the ball, and that was a coach's decision. That wasn't a player's ability, or it wasn't that I don't like to throw. But when you look at everybody's like, well, they're a big run-happy team. Well, when you're winning 50-3, we'll go run the ball a little bit more. You know, so I think some of those numbers are skewed. We were a lot more balanced team in the first half of football games than I think people think. You know, a lot of those times, again, we were up, so we didn't. I think it was tough. I think our receivers at Oregon understood it. You know, you asked them the question, would you rather be up 50-3 or would you rather catch 15 balls in a game? I think everyone will tell you you'd rather be up 50-3. So I know that's not going to happen in this league because no one's up 50-3 at halftime. So I think you're going to see a lot more balance in terms of us running and throwing the football.
But specifically with the receiving numbers, some years you have the running backs leading in catches. Some years you have tight ends.
I'm saying, again, those statistics are skewed because we may have called a couple halfback option routes in the first half, and in the second half we didn't throw the ball at all, you know. And part of that is that was me as a play caller. I have a lot of respect for who we play, and I think when you're up 50-3, if you're throwing bombs on people, then that's not the way the game's supposed to be played. So I squelched those numbers more than anybody. It wasn't because we didn't have receivers, and it wasn't that by design in the game plan we weren't going to throw the ball to the receivers. It was just, you know, there were a couple games when – we scored so fast it caught me by surprise. You know, we're up 43-7 with 11 minutes to go in the second quarter, and you're like, holy smokes. You know, my thought process is making sure that our guys don't get hurt. I don't want to lose a guy when I'm up 40 on somebody because we got a big game or a big opponent coming up next week. And I was always cognizant of that there's another team out there and there's a certain way to win a football game. So we ran the ball a lot more. Our numbers in the passing game suffered a little bit because of that, but we've never governed anything we did by statistics. So I think sometimes when you delve into those and say, hey, this is what they are, that gets a little bit skewed. I think you still have to really kind of peel back the onion, so to speak, and look at the reasons for that. And a lot of times the reasons were because we were up so much. So
that said, you kind of look at a guy like DeSean Jackson and say that he's going to have a pretty big year for you guys if he's successful.
Yes, I lost the second part.
Just that DeSean has to have a pretty big year for you guys to be successful.
Yeah, I think all of our receivers do. I think we, you know, for us to have a real balanced attack, and that's what you got to be able to do. I don't think you can be one way or the other. You can't throw the ball all the time because obviously the defensive coordinators, defense players, leagues are too good at it. I think you need to be balanced and present approaches all the time that, you know, we have the ability to run the ball. Well, I think we've got an outstanding offensive line and a really good couple of good running backs. But we also can't say, hey, we're just going to run the ball and you can gang up on our run attack and then you got to take advantage of what you're going to do. So a lot of it becomes the chess match within the game. Are they taking away your pass game? Then you need to run the ball a little bit more. If they're taking away your run game, you need to throw the ball a little bit more.
Do you just play on Monday?
Brandon is out. He went to the doctors this morning. So Brandon and Dennis are both out. So Brandon will return to practice on Tuesday. So we'll see where, you know, as he fits back into the scheme. But both Brandon and Dennis will be the two guys that are ruled out for Monday's game.
Has Kerry Williams become a problem in the locker room at all?
No.
What were some of the reasons initially why you guys signed him when you saw his play? What were some of the things that stood out you thought to come?
Length. You know, I thought we wanted to get bigger and taller at corner. You know, his competitive edge. You know, I think that's where when you look at him, he's such a competitive person. You know, he's always around the ball. I think he can make a lot of plays on the football. He gives you the ability to play some man coverage and blitz people because of his ability to play press.
You can account any concerns about some of the issues that he's had on and off the field?
I think we take everything into account when we look at everybody we evaluate as a potential Philadelphia Eagle. So, yes.
This question's a bit out left field here, but how much do you pay attention to the Jordan's move after he's left, and what's your connection with those players?
I talk to the coaches a lot, you know, mostly by text messages. I think the same thing happened to me when I was out there. The three-hour time difference really will screw you up. You know, I think about calling them on my way into work, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning for them. So, you know, and I'm sure they may want to call me on the way out of work, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning for me. So exchange a lot of text messages with all those guys, really close to the staff and players. I didn't get a chance to watch your game last week. I was in the office. You know, that was cut down day, so I was working in here, but I didn't anticipate they were going to struggle in the opener. So I know they got a game on Saturday in Virginia, but we'll be practicing. So hopefully maybe able to catch the tail end of that. But I'm a big Oregon fan, in case you guys didn't know.
Billy Davis,
Johnson was talking about how it seemed like Jacksonville was testing him. They were putting Babin on his side. They were throwing different things at him. Do you kind of expect that Monday night? I mean, we're just like,
I don't think they were testing Lane. I think that was just kind of what they do. When Jason Babin goes to the open side, so if the tight end was on the left, then you're going to get Jason Babin. So, you know, but I think Lane's going to get tested just because he's young and he's, you know, if you had your choice, you know, who are you going to try to go against as from a tackle perspective? And right now, you got a all pro lining up at left tackle and a very talented, but it's still a rookie. You know, and I think all rookies in this league are going to get tested no matter what position you play. So, but I think so far, in terms of what Lane's done, we've been really, really happy with him. I think the one thing with Lane that impresses us the most is that you may beat him on a move, but you very rarely beat him on the same move twice. You know, he does such a great job of making in-game adjustments. And, you know, you'll see, hey, he gave something up, but whether Coach Stout's talking to him on the sideline or giving him, I think he just has a natural feel for it, which is really, for us, it's been a great thing because he the one thing he lacked, he knew he had all the athletic ability in the world, was just the experience factor because he was so new to the position, you know, offensive line in general. You know, we all know he was a high school quarterback and then played tight end, then played some defensive end, and only really had 2 years at the collegiate level there. So I think he knows that he's going to get tested, but I don't think in that particular game it was by design. But anytime someone does something to him, I think that the great thing about Lane is he learns very quickly from it. So
we talked about 155 plays run last night with the Broncos and the Ravens. Is defense going to just become something quite different from what we've known before, you know, team scoring 40-50, and, you know, what do you see?
I mean, first off, I saw three plays and fell asleep, so I didn't see much of that particular game, but I think everything, like anything, you can look at one game and say, and try to extrapolate across the entire season. I know Billy was in a game we talked about when Atlanta played Green Bay. I mean, Phoenix played Green Bay in the playoff game, and it was like a 55-50, you know. But you've been there. I've been in some games when, you know, we played in the national championship game at Auburn, which was supposed to be one for the ages and set all sorts of offensive records, and the final score was 22-19. You know, so I don't think with one game you can look at that. I do think more people are, though, less running some more up-tempo, and obviously that's going to have some more plays run. But I don't see it as a huge, you know, I don't see this turning into the Arena League, I can tell you that. So there's too many really, really good defensive football players and too many really, really good defensive coordinators for that to happen. So
this week of preparation for the game, how does this compare or differentiate from when you're preparing for a game at Oregon? I mean, a lot of the guys you face were, you might have been familiar with, they were in your conference, you played them a couple times a year, so... How does this...
You know, it's a good question, but it didn't ever change because our opener was always out of conference, so it was always something new. You know, my first year was Boise. Second year, it was LSU, who we had never played before. You know, so a lot of times it's more to that. It's to the out-of-conference games. Once you got in season, you know, and got a chance to play, you know, Oregon State for the fourth time or Washington for the fourth time, and I had spent 2 years as a coordinator, so you were kind of familiar with them. But it's more just like getting ready for our openers because... Whoever we opened with every year was somebody that we hadn't faced the year before, so it was a different deal. So, you know, I think it's more similar to that, getting ready for an opener. And you always have a little bit more time, so you probably have a little bit more time to drive yourself crazy of what if they do this, and if they do this, they can do this. And, you know, it's especially when you open late. You know, you wish if it was the first game, there's not as much. But you sit through a Thursday night and then – there'll be some college games tonight and college games on Saturday, and then you sit around all day Sunday and you got to play again on Monday. So I think you can drive yourself crazy a little bit. So we just focus on what we can control, and that's how well we prepare. I think we've been really good so far, but we know we still got today and tomorrow and Sunday to prepare. So we still got three more days of preparation. So
with the three games